Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so happy to be here tonight with you all. Let's begin by joining in that period, that moment of silence, that place of silence within all of us. And that silence, that place of love, is only ever in this moment. And if we don't feel like we can touch any sort of quiet, still space, just simply connecting with our willingness to be shown the truth. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. We need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and the light in your mind coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we are beginning chapter 13 in both the Sparkle and Original editions. So if you have the Sparkle edition, it's page 302. Again, that's the beginning of chapter 13. It's called From Perception to Knowledge. In the Course in Miracles Society Original edition, it is, again, also the beginning of chapter 13, page 254. And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 13, part 8, page 258, From Perception to Knowledge. So we'll start here. And interestingly, I'll just mention this right away. The first sentence is all therapy is released from the past. That's why the Holy Spirit is the only therapist. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it says all healing is released from the past. That is why the Holy Spirit is the only healer. So I just wanted to highlight that. I thought that was interesting. Here we go. All therapy or healing is released from the past. That is why the Holy Spirit is the only therapist. He teaches that the past does not exist, a fact which belongs to the sphere of knowledge, and which therefore no one in the world knows. It would indeed be impossible to be in the world with this knowledge. For the mind that knows this unequivocally knows also that it dwells in eternity and utilizes no perception at all. It therefore does not consider where it is, because the concept of where does not mean anything to it. It knows that it is everywhere, and just as it has everything and forever. So I'll pause there. I thought this was pretty cool because the Course, we are very familiar with the teaching that the past doesn't exist. And it says very clearly here, this is a fact which belongs to the sphere of knowledge and which therefore no one in the world knows. It would indeed be impossible to be in this world, in the world with this knowledge. So that was just a reminder to me that even if I might think, you know, the past is gone and it's over, there may be part of me in my own mind that still believes that it's real. And so, again, the best thing, the safest thing for me to do is to just simply take my belief to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit show me that the past does not exist rather than rely on my own, you know, intellect or understanding of that. So I thought that was pretty cool. Because then it goes on to say, for the mind that knows this unequivocally knows that it also dwells in eternity, and utilizes no perception at all. So I might think sometimes that the past doesn't exist, but I definitely do not perceive myself in eternity yet. So there is still healing to be done. Just simply give it to the Holy Spirit. So let me just pause there. Did anybody, any sentences or anything stand out for anybody?
The first sentence, the first and the second. I have been considering going back to therapy, and wondering where to go, and here is part of my answer, maybe the only answer. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to be quiet a lot.
Yeah, it's really tempting to just want to do a lot of other things besides go to the Holy Spirit when ultimately that's all we need to do. Of course, there's nothing wrong with therapy. It can be enormously helpful if we feel like that's the right place for us to be. But ultimately, it's all about going to the Holy Spirit.
Ah, you know what? There's the answer right there. I'll ask the Holy Spirit. And if that is the right answer, I'll be guided to that person.
Absolutely, absolutely. Beautiful. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Rayla. What interests me about that is I have a sister who was born my brother. She is now my sister. She's been in therapy her entire life, and she's been really struggled with suicidal issues. She's had shock therapy, just unbelievable amount of therapy ever since she was a child. And she continues to stay in therapy. And I asked her, after I had started reading A Course in Miracles, I asked her one day, can you just tell me, in a nutshell, what is it that really bothers you? Is it the past? Is it your present? Is it fear of the future? What exactly is it that you have dealt with all these years that you can't seem to resolve? And her answer was, it is just the past. So because of that, it interests me that it says all therapy is release from the past. Mm-hmm. I'm complete.
That's really powerful, Rayla. I'm really glad that you shared that. Yeah, because that's it's so crystal clear, right? All therapy is released from the past. All healing is released from the past. It's all about recognizing that it's over. It's no longer here. And what we are in this present moment is, again, going beyond just our recognition of thinking that we are this separate self in a present moment, going even beyond that and recognizing, you know, that the truth of who we are, that there is only one, that we are the Son of God right here in this moment. Thank you for sharing.
See, that kind of hints at a question I had, and, you know, right here in this moment. And my question is, if anybody on the call, if you've actually really felt a presence, because I've learned that, of course, the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, but have you ever really felt as if the power of the Holy Spirit was right there with you and that it became active? Have you ever felt that?
Yes.
Yes.
What did it feel like? A presence, another person, or?
It feels like a relief.
For me,
yeah,
it feels like a warmth almost.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I'm being protected. I'm being, maybe not protected is the right word, because when I feel the Holy Spirit's presence, there's that peace, there's that atonement, that oneness. I'm not saying it's 24/7 at all, but that's what I feel like when I feel that Holy Spirit's presence.
And then do you acknowledge it? Do you say something to yourself? Or how do you...
I always say, thank God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think you were first.
I just want to say that for me, it's elusive sometimes. When, you know, it's like, oh, I felt it. Now I don't. Oh, I felt it. Now I don't.
See, that's it. Yeah. Ah.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, it's just lightening up. It's the realization that whatever crucifixion I happen to be involved in, you know, however I'm crucifying myself at the moment, the realization that, I don't have to do this. This can be taken from me. Mm. And then, you know, and ask. Take it. Get it off of me. And it always, there's always relief.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Deidre, did you have something else to add, or did you share?
No, I didn't share yet. I was just going to say that the more I work with spirit, the more there's this awareness. Like we tend to talk about spirit as if it's like there's us and then there's spirit, like there's two separate entities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the more that I work with spirit, the more I feel like there is spirit is me, I am spirit. And it's just whether or not I'm remembering who I really am or not. And when I feel spirit, like I'm connected to the spirit within me, there's a gentleness and an effortlessness and an ease to everything. And it's like I'll open my mouth, but the spirit within me will pour out, and I won't have any idea what is even being said. It's like the love is just pouring out. So I'm just going to leave that.
Beautiful.
That's amazing.
I'll add, too, for me, that one of the things that A Course in Miracles talks about, there's a supplement to the Course called the Song of Prayer. And it says in there how true prayer doesn't ask for anything. It's not supplication. It's not saying, you know, please make such and such different, or please, you know, make this work out. True prayer is just a constant recognition of who we truly are, and gratitude just for who we truly are. And so as I'll speak for myself, as I've, you know, studied the Course over the years and just consistently turned to the Holy Spirit within, I almost constantly feel, and again, I still fluctuate. I think Carol mentioned that fluctuating, you know, it's there, it's gone, it's there, it's gone. That's us. Just, you know, not making up our minds. We still waver. I still do it myself. But when we, as Deidre was just describing, that ease, that effortlessness, that gentleness, for me, it's a feeling that just sort of radiates from my core of just harmony, of like just pure peace doesn't even kind of capture it. It's like this resonant vibration, and I don't even usually use the term vibration, but it's just this like inner knowing of just safety and love and ease and everything, you know, that was already mentioned. So and it's outside of my thinking about it, you know, it's a feeling. So it's that's the best that I can describe it, I think, for me. Thank you for asking the question, Brian. That was a great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I listen, it's not scary, right? You're not afraid of it.
No,
no.
Not at all.
You welcome it.
No, not at all. It's like the most natural. It's the most peaceful and natural feeling that there is.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
The other thing I wanted to add was there are places sometimes that, and I understand, you know, you can be any place and experience this, but I believe, like, for some reason, I was thinking about my family and I have been to the Grand Canyon, and we've also been to a place in California called Muir Woods, and, you know, people go to the beach. There are certain places that the energy is just... To me, it just draws Holy Spirit into me closer. Being in certain places sometimes, I can just feel it.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, you know, and that's, if I can just jump in, Nicole, real quick, and then please share, and then we'll move on. But that's one of the things that, you know, my husband is an artist, and he always used to get hung up on the Course, you know, with everything that we see being an illusion, you know, well, the ocean is so beautiful, or the woods, you know, the redwoods are so gorgeous. How can this possibly not be real? And what I would, you know, say to him is that that's a place where the veil is very thin for you. So that's a place where you're more easily able, you know, to let the lowercase s self step to the side, to let that, you know, feeling of the capital S self come through. The veil is thinner.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I
and
agree.
I came in on the call right when you were talking about your walk, Corinne, and I was thinking today how much I love going for walks when it's when it has just snowed. I find it to be heavenly, and I always find God on those walks. And, well, that walking experience is temporarily on hold. And just hearing you say you were walking through the woods, I was there for an instant, and I got to go not necessarily with you, but my mind had that little piece.
Awesome.
So thank you.
Thank you. And Deidre, did I hear you for a moment?
Yeah, I was just going to say what you just said, Corinne, a moment ago about your sharing about your husband and the veil being really thin. For me, it's like where I've been traveling sort of with the course and with my angel work and everything. It's like there is no distinction between beautiful or spiritual and quote-unquote ugly when you're looking at things with the eyes of spirit. It's all just love. It's all, you know, so you can be looking at something that the eyes of the world would say is really, you know, not so attractive, but you can see the beauty and the love in it. I really felt that's what you were describing with the veil being really thin, because really there is no veil.
Yeah. So it's a choice that comes from our mind.
Yeah,
versus
exactly
what we see with the body's eyes. Yeah.
Right. And it brings to mind, like, I think it's David Hoffmeister that he has these movie nights with course students, I think, where they'll go watch all kinds of different movies, including like really violent ones and ones that might not be considered very spiritual or whatever. But the mind training is that if you can look at those with the eyes of love and see only love within that, and you know, like it's all about training the mind to be disassociated with the body's eyes, right?
I know for me, I just, you know, there were months that I was with someone doing some senior care, and I was exposed to the television for practically 8 hours a day. And that was very difficult for me. Yes, I wrote and I read and I did what I could to stay in that zone, so to speak, but it was very much a challenge for me to be exposed to. I don't choose to expose myself to a lot of violent things. I am not there yet, Deidre, you know, where you're talking about. I just, it's too difficult for me to be around that.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
We have to honor exactly where we're at.
Yeah.
And I remember how hard that was for you. I remember, you know, talking about that. And I personally don't watch the news either. So,
yeah.
But you know, when it shows up in our experience, based on, you know, whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in, it's coming up as an opportunity for us to give it to the Holy Spirit to, you know, be willing to see it differently.
Yeah, I don't typically expose myself to a lot of that either, but I'm learning through, you know, reading the materials from other teachers and whatnot to just take my beliefs about certain things and look at them with spirit. And I think that's what David's doing with that work, looking at those things, because as the Course is teaching, God is in everything, and it's our beliefs that create our perception of everything.
Right.
I'm not sure.
And our judgments upon them.
Yeah.
I had a recent experience this week with violence and the Holy Spirit and perception. And something came up at school. I work in a high school, and a young teenager told me that he purchased or he got in trouble while trying to purchase a gun. And it shocked me at first, and I asked him, why would you do that? And, you know, what's the purpose? And he said he wanted to feel powerful. And we had a conversation about it, and I let it go. I did not run from my chair and go tell the principal, which is what I guess I was supposed to do. For whatever reason, it didn't register in my mind until 24 hours later that I needed to tell someone, or possibly needed to tell someone. So I told the administration in my school, and I was actually met with, I got chastised for it. And there's a part of me that didn't want to say anything because I felt like it had been taken care of at home and within himself, but I have a legal obligation to speak up. So it was an interesting experience, and I don't have total peace with it yet. I'm not afraid of the boy. I'm not afraid of the gun, even. I don't even know if he bought it. But it was an interesting thing to happen this week. And how the school has a right to be afraid, I guess, but not really. It's a pickle. I've been presented with a spiritual pickle right now. yeah. So that's what made me think of when someone said violence.
Yeah, so whatever shows up, you know, in our experience, it's an opportunity. It sounds like you, I mean, I don't know if you did that in the moment, but of taking it, you know, to the Holy Spirit, and it sounds like you weren't moved to do anything for 24 hours, and so you just have to trust that, even though, you know, that wasn't what the school wanted you to do, it didn't even occur to you that that was what you should have done, you know, in order
right.
to decide that you were going to or not going to, so you just have to trust that. It just all unfolded as it should, and just continue to keep taking it to the Holy Spirit till you get that, you know, that shift surrounding the situation.
I couldn't very well tell them, you know, I think it's kind of funny that you're all freaking out about this. I don't think they'd appreciate that very much.
Right.
But I think the humor for me is that he was so angry that I waited. And to me, that didn't, like, I'm sorry, my brain is, it works on a slower time continuum than the rest of the population sometimes. I can't really change that. I'm sorry. So.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Sure.
How about let's do some more reading.
Yes.
Let's take the second paragraph. The very real difference between perception and knowledge becomes quite apparent if you consider this. There is nothing partial about knowledge. Every aspect is whole, and therefore no aspect is separate. You are an aspect of knowledge, being in the mind of God who knows you. All knowledge must be yours, for in you is all knowledge. Perception, at its loftiest, is never complete. Even the perception of the Holy Spirit, as perfect as perception can be, is without meaning in heaven. Perception can reach everywhere under his guidance, for the vision of Christ beholds everything in light. Yet no perception, however holy, will last forever. So this paragraph sort of reminds me that no matter what the perception is, the ego's perception is always wrong. So we talk often about, you know, lack of peace and misperceiving being associated with lack of peace, but the flip side is true in a sense also that, you know, the things that we would consider good things, you know, happy things, are still what the body's eyes are showing us, you know, they're still witnesses for separation. So there can even be, I mean, we were just talking before about, you know, beautiful things. When we were saying about that earlier, that's part of perception as well. And so even, you know, the beautiful stuff can be used on behalf of the ego as well. So that's why it's important that no matter what we simply tap into that willingness that whatever we're perceiving, we're still offering that to the Holy Spirit, or we're still inviting the Holy Spirit to look at it with us. So it's like we're not only handing over the negative stuff, but we're willing to hand over what seems to be positive too. And this is so, you know, it kind of goes back to that larger conversation that we've had before of, you know, how do you know if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, or how do you know if you're listening to the ego? In a sense, it doesn't matter, because as long as you're taking it to the Holy Spirit, you know, even if you're not sure if it's coming from spirit or if it's coming from ego, if you feel moved to act on it, whatever it may be, or whatever, if you're still giving it to the Holy Spirit, it's going to be used on behalf of your awakening no matter what. So the ego in it, if you've given it to the Holy Spirit, will fall away when you're ready to let it go, if there's any ego there. And again, like we've talked before, the Holy Spirit will use anything on behalf of our awakening, anything that we give it. So this paragraph to me is just a reminder that the ego's perception is always wrong. So therefore, I want to give my perceptions to the Holy Spirit and let those perceptions be cleaned up so I can be shown witnesses for truth instead of for separation. I hope that made sense.
To me.
Thank you.
And I forgot about the witness part until you just reminded me.
Mm-hmm.
What have I been cooking in my mind this week?
Right? It's interesting sometimes.
It was, yes, all at once in like a 3-day period, things that were so far out of my normal everyday existence, thought process, and big stuff.
I think it's so interesting when we really are willing to turn over whatever fear or whatever that's bringing up in you, you know, and feel confident that the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of it.
Yeah.
I get such tremendous peace out of that. When I get into these situations that, you know, unnerve me. And there's an automatic shift when I remember page 90, you know.
Right.
And
right.
I say it a lot because he
Is
will.
Is that I'm here to be helpful?
Yes, I am only here to be. No,
yes.
No, that's, it's, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace.
Yes.
And in any situation where we're not at peace, we've decided wrongly. So I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. It's just a wonderful, wonderful paragraph. And I don't think it's on page 90 in the Sparkle edition. Corinne, do you know what page it's on?
Somebody, last time we talked about this, I think Paul was on the line, and I think he told us what the page number was, and I am just looking back at my notes. I don't see it. I'll see if I can find it before we end the call tonight.
The helpful one is on 91, ironically.
It's actually, it's page 90 of the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, but it's called the page 90 prayer, or so it's, this is Jenna, by the way, guys, and it's at the very last page of chapter 5.
Thank you.
Last page of chapter 5. Our chapters might be different in Sparkle, though.
Oh, really?
No, it isn't.
Oh.
You're right. It's page 116 in the Sparkle edition. I must have decided wrongly. Thank you, Jenna.
You're welcome.
We found it. Page 116.
I do use that all.
It's very hard to shift out of, you know, these... these situations we get ourselves into, but that is just the most powerful way, I think, because it's such a reminder, you know, that we're not in charge here,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be at peace, and it also says I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let Him. And that's the big thing, if I will let Him. And then it goes on to say, I choose to let Him by allowing Him to decide for God for me. That's that relief I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When Brian asked earlier about, you know, how do you feel, how do you know when the Holy Spirit is active in your life, and how do you know when it's that wonderful relief and that return to confidence, you know, and a feeling of well-being, because I don't have to do anything, but I have to get out of the way and allow it to be undone for me. And I've seen, I just know it works so beautifully when I remember.
Yep, yep.
That's amazing.
I'm right there with you. That was that. Thank you so much for saying that, for summing that up so nicely. Love that. I have to get used to saying page 116. I'm so used to saying page 90. 116 in the sparkle. Awesome. Let's read another paragraph. So we have a subheading here in the Sparkle Edition called The Role of Healing. Perfect perception, then, has many elements in common with knowledge, making transfer to it possible. Yet the last step must be taken by God, because the last step in your redemption, which seems to be in the future, was accomplished by God in your creation. The separation has not interrupted it. Creation cannot be interrupted. The separation is merely a faulty formulation of reality with no effect at all. The miracle without a function in heaven is needful here. Aspects of reality can still be seen, and they will replace aspects of unreality. Aspects of reality can be seen in everything and everywhere, yet only God can gather them together by crowning them as one with the final gift of eternity. So that just reminds me, that sentence, aspects of reality can be seen in everything and everywhere. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. And where we have those places, you know, in the woods or wherever it may be that we seemingly prefer, this to me is what this is saying. It's where the veil gets thin. We can see aspects of reality. The more we turn to the Holy Spirit, the more we realize that aspect that we're seeing in one particular place can be seen everywhere. Because God is in our minds. I also love this sentence where it says toward the top of the paragraph, yet the last step must be taken by God because the last step in your redemption, which seems to be in the future, was accomplished by God in your creation. The separation has not interrupted it. So there's that sort of mind bender again, where, you know, this is already done and over and healed, and we just think it's yet to come. I love, it says elsewhere in the Course, and this sort of mirrors it, that we're as safe right now as we were before the separation seemingly occurred, as we will be after the separation is seemingly over, because again, it's just all a dream. So dropping into the surety that I am just as safe now as I was before I had this crazy mad idea in my mind has just been a helpful idea for me. Anybody else have anything to share?
Well, this line, the separation is merely a faulty formulation of reality with no effect at all. I mean, that's a wonderful thing when we realize that.
Right? It makes me think.
That situation with the boy and the gun, that's exactly what that is. It's just merely a faulty formulation of reality. And that can be, and that has already been corrected.
Right. Good, because I'm a little nervous to go to work.
Page 90, page 115. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences.
And you know, it's actually sort of ironically funny. In the moment that I went in to speak to the vice principal, when I walked out of his office, I heard my name being called in the hallway. And it was the boy. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm so guilty. He knows I told. And hopefully that will not be the case, because.
You're not guilty, though. You're innocent.
Yeah.
Right now, you didn't do anything wrong. The situation is perfect as it is.
Okay.
What was presented to you as an opportunity And are you going to use this situation with the boy to make yourself guilty, or are you going to use the situation to see yourself as innocent and the love that you are?
Innocent and love. Thank you for reminding me.
And that goes back also to this page 90. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision. It just covers everything.
Mm, it sure does.
Well, the whole
trust.
Yeah, I think too, like the whole notion of the rules that we adhere to while we're here on the level of form. Like I know I've gotten caught up in that many times. But the more I look at things with spirit, the more I realize that there are no rules, really and truly.
Yeah.
There are no rules.
You're right.
So,
and,
yeah. When we
and I, things. I hear you totally, and it's just it's a challenge sometimes because I'm supposed to follow these rules,
yeah.
But a lot of times they're not resonating with me to do that because it's going to cause a bigger problem if I do. It's a very strange feeling.
I think it really comes down to, and I read a post about this the other week on Facebook, and it was a really profound post that I was able to take into my own life, and basically the gist of it was, we have ideas about what innocence is supposed to look like. And so when it doesn't show up the way that we think innocent looks like, we make judgments and we say, oh, that's not innocent, or, you know, it should look different than it's appearing. And someone came underneath that post and says, no, really the way that spirit looks at everything is innocence looks exactly the way that it shows up.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter if, you know, we see someone helping a little old lady across the street, or we see a little old lady being robbed, her purse being robbed. The same innocence applies in both situations. It's just that our belief about innocence, if we look at the situation where the purse was stolen and we think that there's no innocence in that.
Mm.
And what Spirit would say about that, it's our judgment, our perception, our belief based on the two situations that is where the issue is.
Hmm.
But the same innocence applies. So when you look at things like Joe Wolf's work with people that are in prisons, it's brilliant because, you know, love doesn't separate. Love doesn't create, you know, the need for people to be locked away and, you know, conform to, but our world is all based on that, the world of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting topic, which I'm sure we could talk about all night, but...
It is, and
You're getting radical there. This is really radical thinking.
I love it. But to reiterate what Deidre was just saying, but to put it into my own words, or the Course's words, there's nobody out there. It's all coming from our mind. So, Deidre, as you were presenting the two different, you know, situations that we might see, and it's our judgment out there that's saying that, you know, there's no innocence in the one and versus the other, there's no one out there. It all goes back to working to our own mind. So we're the ones that have to, you know, stop and take our perceptions to the Holy Spirit because it's never about the other person.
Like looking at the Course, and when you're really taking things to Spirit and saying to Spirit, Holy Spirit, take this and look upon it for me. Every time I've done that and I've really looked at my judgment and said, I'm condemning this person or this situation or the seeming appearance of something that's happening outside of me. What Spirit is saying and the Course is saying is that nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
a real mind bender for people
mm-hmm.
to say, like, you mean when someone took a gun and shot someone else, that didn't happen? Like, it's a real, but what we think is a judgment doesn't exist because God doesn't judge. There is no judgment.
And there is no death.
There is no death. Thank you, Paula. It's perfect.
Beautiful. Why don't we move on and read another paragraph or two?
Yes.
Apart from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit has no function. I just heard my own.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody has any, okay, I think whoever just muted yourself, thank you. I don't know if anybody had it on speakerphone. It's possible that sometimes creates an echo too. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start over again. Apart from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit has no function. He is not separate from either, being in the mind of both, and knowing that mind is one. He is a thought of God, and God has given him to you because he has no thoughts he does not share. His message speaks of timelessness in time, and that is why Christ's vision looks on everything with love. Yet even Christ's vision is not his reality. The golden aspects of reality, which spring to light under his loving gaze, are partial glimpses of the heaven that lies beyond them. I'm going to read the next paragraph, too. This is the miracle of creation, that it is one forever. Every miracle you offer to the Son of God is but the true perception of one aspect of the whole. Though every aspect is the whole, you cannot know this until you see that every aspect is the same, perceived in the same light, and therefore one. Everyone seen without the past thus brings you nearer to the end of time by bringing healed and healing sight into the darkness and enabling the world to see. For light must come into the darkened world to make Christ's vision possible even here. Help him to give his gift of light to all who think they wander in darkness, and let him gather them into his quiet sight that makes them one. So we'll pause there. I feel like there are more mind benders in these. Every miracle you offer to the Son of God is but the true perception of one aspect of the whole. Though every aspect is the whole, you cannot know this until you see that every aspect is the same. So if this makes your head spin, again, just give it to the Holy Spirit. a lot of this, again, just the a lifetime ago, it feels like, started studying physics for a very short time in college. And I remember reading this book. Actually, it was a book that I read that sort of influenced that temporary decision. And it was called Hyperspace, and it was talking about how if you think of like one plane, like a sheet of paper being like that plane, and a two-dimensional creature dwelling in that plane of paper, so it only knows right or left, or like, you know, forward or backwards, it has no understanding of up or down. That's always been so helpful to me in studying the course, because we are that, you know, two-dimensional, so to speak, creature in that plane of paper where we can't wrap our heads around knowledge or creation or, you know, how everything can be an aspect of the whole. Like, you know, we can only maybe get little glimpses of that as best. So I figured I would just throw that out there in case, you know, anybody was like, what? It makes my own head spin sometimes. But, yeah, anybody have anything to share about these two paragraphs? We'll read the next one then. They are all the same, all beautiful and equal in their holiness. And he will offer them unto his Father as they were offered unto him. There is one miracle as there is one reality. And every miracle you do contains them all, as every aspect of reality you see blends quietly into the one reality of God. The only miracle that ever was is God's most holy Son, created in the one reality that is his Father. Christ's vision is his gift to you. his being and is his father's gift to him.
Isn't this paragraph really what Deidre was just talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's exactly what you were talking about, Deidre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just thinking too, like, anytime I really look at my judgments on anything, it's really an aspect of how I'm judging myself. So if I have a judge, if I see, like, just to use the same example as we were just talking about, if I see someone's purse being stolen, say, for example, I'm just making it up, and I notice myself reacting to that, then I'm judging myself based on my reaction to that, seeing that with my eyes. So it's really not even about what I'm seeing, it's how I'm using that to judge my worthiness to receive love.
Yikes. We have been taught so much craziness. Really, this is really about undoing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we just need to be very kind and patient with ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where the prayer is so helpful for me from the Course, that when we see something, like, for instance, somebody's purse getting stolen or, you know, something on TV, we've said this many times, but that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate peace's coming. So essentially what we're just saying is, you know, take what I think I'm seeing here and see the truth in it instead, because I will misuse it if I judge it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just had an epiphany, and maybe a helpful, well, maybe it'll be helpful for me, but the signs and the slogans, if you see something, say something. So rather than telling the quote-unquote authorities, take it to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than, if you see something with your ego, don't take it to another ego, because you're probably going to create an obstacle for peace. Make sure you check in with the Spirit before you speak.
Yeah, and you might very well be prompted to go say something.
Right. Or not.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'll just share a quick story. I one time was leaving my building a couple years ago. I'm teaching out of a brand new building, but we were in an old building next to that before it was finished. It was late one night in the summer, and I was walking out to my car, and I got this really funny feeling because I saw a person with a truck, like, in the construction area at, like, I don't even know, 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 maybe. And I just got a funky feeling, and I did feel prompted to go to campus police and report it, but I didn't. I said, oh, no, I'll just hand it to the Holy Spirit and just let it be there. And sure enough, there was a robbery. They went out, they put out an email the next day that building materials were stolen that night. And so I called campus police, and I said, this is what I saw. And, you know, like, of course, at the time was feeling bad for not having called. But, you know, if we feel prompted to say something, that's okay.
That
story came forward, so I figured I'd just throw it out there.
And you know what? I'm glad you shared that, because there usually is a difference for me in my internal meter of needing to take action immediately or wait. there's another situation going on at work, and I haven't said anything. I've let it go, and now it's come to a point where I did say something, and I'm glad I did, and I've been given direction on what the next step is, but I'm still teetering with an ego and the Holy Spirit on this one. Yes, my intuition is telling me that this one I'm going to need a little bit of human help.
Well, good. Listen to that. Let's. We only have a few minutes left, so let's see if we can fit in another paragraph or two.
Yeah.
Almost to the end of the section. Where are we? Be you content with healing. For Christ's gift you can bestow, and your Father's gift you cannot lose. Offer Christ's gift to everyone and everywhere. For miracles, offer the Son of God through the Holy Spirit, attune you to reality. The Holy Spirit knows your part in the redemption and who are seeking you and where to find them. Knowledge is far beyond your individual concern. You who are part of it and all of it need only realize that it is of the Father, not of you. Your role in the redemption leads you to it by reestablishing its oneness in your minds. And I'm going to read one more paragraph and then we'll pause. When you have seen your brothers as yourself, you will be released to knowledge, having learned to free yourself of him who knows of freedom. Unite with me under the holy banner of his teaching, and as we grow in strength, the power of God's Son will move in us, and we will leave no one untouched and no one left alone. And suddenly time will be over, and we will all unite in the eternity of God the Father. The holy light you saw outside yourself in every miracle you offer to your brothers will be returned to you. And knowing that the light is in you, your creations will be there with you as you are in your Father. So I'm going to pause there, but there's a few things that I just have to highlight in this first paragraph that we just read, the one that begins with, be you content with healing. Check out that looks like the second sentence. Offer Christ's gift to everyone and everywhere. For miracles, offer the Son of God through the Holy Spirit, attune you to reality. I love the end of that sentence, how they attune you to reality. So when we aren't thinking that the way that we're seeing is the truth, or in other words, let me reword that, when we're not hanging on to our perception as being the absolute truth, when we're willing to give that perception to the Holy Spirit in exchange for the miracle, that attunes us to reality. I thought that was so cool. It's like a tune-up. Like I picture like a radio, you know, knob of tuning in to the Holy Spirit.
Wait,
and
you
then,
just said that perfectly. I want you to, I got to write that down. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's why we record these. We all say things that are so helpful that we want to write down.
Yeah.
God.
Recording. The other thing that I just really wanted to highlight is how miracles, when we are, you know, perhaps, how do I say this? We think we're doing it maybe for another person, but this is saying that it all comes back to us afterwards. So it says in that second to last, was it the, actually, yeah, this is second to last sentence in the second paragraph that we just read. The holy light you saw outside yourself in every miracle you offer to your brothers will be returned to you. This is how the Course says, you know, every loving thought that we've ever had is saved for us. Nothing, no effort is lost whatsoever. So how cool is that, that every miracle that we've offered to our brothers will be returned to you. We gain as well. There's no loss. One doesn't, you know, gain something because the other has to lose. It's a win-win.
This morning, I had that experience. Long story short, I'm not really able to shovel very much right now, and my neighbor came over with a snowblower and did all of my sidewalks and the driveway. And I went outside to say thank you, and he turned the snowblower off, and he said, you're not allowed to bring anything over. You're not allowed to bring any gift. And I said, okay. He said, someday I'm going to get old and, you know, I'm going to need the help. And he basically said to me what he taught his children, that you just help as many people as you can and it's going to come back to you. So just keep helping and just keep doing the right thing. I don't have the exact words, but everything the Course is teaching in this section was said this morning on my sidewalk in the 17-degree weather.
Oh,
that's awesome.
And it was really cool. And I got it. I got it. For a minute, anyway.
Yeah, and you know, Corinne, that sentence that you just read, the same thing, the holy light you saw, right? That
mm-hmm.
applies to you. You know what I mean?
You mean, right, yeah, you mean like when I am willing to see differently when I offer a miracle of returning to me? Is that what you're saying?
No, just in terms of the way you present the concepts that we review, they're going to all come back to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As everything, as all the light that everybody on the call is sharing, you know, it all comes back to all of us. This is, we're all, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Only gain. We're all,
beautiful.
It's like we're you know, joining hands and just lifting each other up.
You got it. Beautiful.
Awesome. Beautiful. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so thank you so much, everybody. And have a miracle-filled week, so we'll pick up where we left off next week. And
thank you, everyone.
Beautiful. Also, it sounded
warm.
Like the line cleared up. Yeah. It did for me. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you,
everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.